People talk about it all the time. There just doesn't seem to be enough time. Pick up the newspaper, there'll be another story about a stressed out, disgruntled employee who goes on a shooting spree, or another heartbreaking account of a husband and father who says he just can't keep it up anymore and abandons his wife and children. We're moving faster and faster, but where are we going? These are the headlines. In a moment, we're going to look at the important news behind the headlines.
Welcome to the Good News Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. The Good News doesn't try to cover up today's problems. This is a program that dares to look at today's dilemmas and ask the questions that must be asked. It seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. Please join Gary Petty for a discussion of today's Good News subject.
Time. It's the one thing that once you've spent, you can never recover. Is your life hectic and out of control? You know, you may be missing out on a special gift of time from God. We live in a time-compressed world. Technology is supposed to make our lives easier and create more leisure time. We purchase microwaves, home computers, and riding lawnmowers in order to have more control over our lives. Then, of course, we have to work overtime in order to pay for these time-saving gadgets. We rush to work, rush through meals, rush through conversations so we can hurry to a child's school event. Then we tear off to a health club to ride a stationary bike, which goes nowhere. On weekends, we rush through church services so we can hustle home and spend a few hours relaxing in front of the television, only to feel vaguely bored and restless. Well-known marriage and family therapist H. Norman Wright has written over 60 books on family and related subjects. He calls the result of our fast-paced lifestyles the hurry sickness. He writes, "It's a response that begins to make our eternal clocks run faster and faster and faster. As with any illness, specific symptoms reflect the presence of the illness. In the case of hurry sickness, the symptoms are heart disease, elevated blood pressure, or a depression of the immune system that make you more susceptible to infections and cancer. These conditions are brought on when we exist in a state of stress, pressure, or constant rushing. Even tension headaches and ulcers are tied to hurry sickness." Now think about it. The results of always running full tilt is that sooner or later, the days, weeks, and months become a blur of activities with no purpose or sense of accomplishment. Many people have forgotten why we're running so fast and don't know how to get off the merry-go-round. Time stress affects health, peace of mind, and relationships. We never seem to get everything done. Organized daycare was going to give women more time to pursue fulfilling careers. Instead, many mothers experience guilt for abandoning their children and then not being able to really spend quality time with them because they're exhausted. Children aren't escaping the time pressures either. Preteens hurry through childhood driven by demands to grow up too quickly. And all too many children and teens are exhibiting symptoms of emotional and mental breakdowns attributed to stress. Has all the activity created a better life for you and your family? Or are you like so many people who are rushing themselves into high blood pressure, chronic tiredness, emotional burnout, and spiritual bankruptcy? Maybe it's time to take a few minutes and take stock of how you spend your time. How often have you wished you had more time for the important aspects of your life, like family or self-reflection or prayer? Bookstores have shelves bulging with material on how to organize your life, but many of these sources are missing an important aspect of time management. Society in the United States is embroiled in a decades-old debate on the posting of the Ten Commandments in schools and government buildings. Now, few would argue against adhering to the instructions forbidding murder or stealing. Keeping these laws would bring a blessing to everyone. But there is one commandment that is almost completely forgotten in our modern, fast-paced society. In fact, its relevancy is often debated even among those who promote the Ten Commandments. This makes the biblical instruction in the fourth commandment all the more potent. God says, "Remember the Sabbath day." It's as if this commandment is the easiest for humans to forget. For some, it may be daunting to think of spiritual rest dedicated to reflection on our need for God and thinking about what is really important in these short lives that we have. Sometimes it's easier to fill each waking moment with career, house, car, or entertainment than deal with inner nature. Easier until the results in broken relationships, emotional breakdown, and spiritual emptiness take their toll. You know, the Sabbath wasn't intended to be a day of total idleness. God told the ancient Israelites that the Sabbath was a solemn rest, a holy convocation. It's a time of gathering with other Christians to worship God. You know, it's unfortunate that in our hectic society, even church services have sometimes become a matter of convenience instead of a vital element of living. Some churches are now broadcasting worship services on short-range radio so people can sit in their cars in the parking lot, dressed for their golf game or other activities. This way, as soon as listeners hear the last amen, they can run off to the next pursuit. God, through the prophet Isaiah, informed Israel of the Sabbath's original intent. It says, quote, "If you turn your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasures, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourselves in the Lord." The concept of the biblical Sabbath leads us away from a ritualistic obligation to participate in a once-a-week hour of worship to a day dedicated to revitalizing our relationship with God in both private and communal worship. It's also important to understand that God didn't design the Sabbath to be a day constrained by puritanical restrictions. The Sabbath is to be a time of physical, emotional, and spiritual renewal. The Creator says to call this day a delight, and how many of us don't need some time for physical, emotional, and spiritual renewal? Jesus was questioned about healing a man on the Sabbath. He answered, as recorded in Matthew, "What man is there among you who has one sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it out? How much more value, then, is a man than a sheep? Therefore it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." We can help renew the life of another person by visiting the sick or elderly on the Sabbath day, giving time to others, taking our thoughts off our problems, and bringing rest to troubled minds. Observing the Sabbath sets the tone for the coming week. With rested minds and bodies and a renewed relationship with God and Christ, a person can be energized to reflect Christ the following 6 days. Are you missing out on a blessing from God? There's a lot more to cover on today's program. We'll be back right after these messages.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy begins the fourth commandment. Why did God consider the Sabbath so important that he included it in the Ten Commandments? Today, the Sabbath command is almost universally ignored and considered irrelevant in modern society. But is it? Our booklet, Sunset to Sunset, God's Sabbath Rest, will show you why God created the Sabbath and help you discover its vital relevance for Christians today. It will show you from the pages of your Bible what the truth is and what it means for you. Call right now for your free copy, 1-800-966-9232. Request your copy of Sunset to Sunset and discover this surprising truth Jesus Christ taught. Call 1-800-966-9232. Your free copy is waiting for you. Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Operators are standing by for your call. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org.
Well, we're back, and we have with us today from Houston, Texas, Jim Franks, author of a number of articles on the history of Sabbatarians in the United States. So Jim, we appreciate you being able to be on the program with us today.
Well, it's my pleasure. I don't know of very many subjects that I enjoy talking about more than about Sabbath keepers, Sabbatarians, the history that goes along with them. So I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, first, maybe we better clarify here. What do we mean by the term Sabbatarian?
Essentially, the term Sabbatarian is in reference to those who observe the seventh-day Sabbath. Now, historically, it's a little difficult to know exactly when the term was coined, but there are references to the Middle Ages and individuals during that period of time who were observing the seventh-day Sabbath and are called Sabbatarians. Some believe that's a term that was applied in retrospect, but there is a book entitled History of, actually it's called Israel of the Alps, and it's a history of Sabbatarians during the Middle Ages. So it's a difficult term to nail down specifically, but in general it would be viewed as those who observe the seventh-day Sabbath, and certainly by the time you get to 16th century England and 17th century England, you will find the term used almost exclusively for those who were Seventh-day Sabbath keepers.
Now, I find that interesting because I think it's safe to say that most people here in the United States, when they think of Christians who are Seventh-day Sabbath keepers, tend to think of a number of church groups that were formed basically in the last century and a half here in the United States. So is it true then that there's a Seventh-day Sabbath observance? The Christians who do that have a long history here in the United States even?
Yes, it's certainly, if you happen to live or visit in the northeastern part of the United States, you will find a large portion of the colonial history will involve a group who were Sabbatarians. They are called today Seventh-day Baptists, but during that period of time they were called Sabbatarians, and actually they themselves, of course, call themselves the Church of God, the Congregation of God, but were often called Sabbatarians, and even on a lot of the tombstones of those people in the 1700s and even latter 1600s will actually have the term Sabbatarian on their headstone. So you can say that the Sabbath keepers or the Sabbatarians would go back to the latter part of the 17th century in the U.S., specifically to the year 1664, when Stephen Mumford, who was a Sabbath keeper and a Sabbatarian from England, came over to Newport, Rhode Island, and from there began quite a large volume of people, or a large number of people, by the within the next 100 years, who were called Sabbatarians.
Now, whatever happened to that early Sabbatarian movement here in the United States? When we're talking about, of course, the 1600s, can it be traced to further Christian movements here in U.S. history?
Most of the Christian groups today who observe the Seventh-day Sabbath will, on some level, trace their history back to the Stephen Mumfords and the early Sabbath keepers in colonial New England. So there is a thread. It's quite interesting that in the 1700s, the largest Christian group in what is today the state of Rhode Island, at that time the colony of Rhode Island, were Sabbatarians. Two governors of colonial Rhode Island were Sabbath keepers and were Sabbatarians. Several other colonial leaders, the first president of Brown University was a Sabbatarian. It's hard to read or study the history of colonial Rhode Island without seeing these people in quite abundance. From there you have a connection down the coast in other colonies, New Jersey and into Pennsylvania, coming across into Middle America, spreading to the West Coast, and from all of these groups, or from several of these groups, there have developed other bodies who are today known as, or consider themselves, Seventh-day Sabbath keeping groups. They have various names today, but they all trace their thread back through the early colonial days and the introduction of the Sabbath to colonial America.
So in your articles, you mentioned that many of the early Sabbath keepers, both in England and then here in the New World, suffered quite a bit of persecution from other Christians. Now, why do you think other Christians were so upset with their teachings about observing the seventh-day Sabbath?
Well, essentially, the observance of the seventh-day Sabbath took people away from what at least in colonial England and also, I'm sorry, colonial New England, but also into back into England, took people away from the established churches. And this was quite a threat to the Anglicans in England. There was quite a bit of persecution. There are many stories about individuals being hanged. There's a story about a man named John Traft who actually had his ear nailed to a post while he was whipped because he kept the Seventh-day Sabbath and advocated that people stop attending the Anglican Church and join with him. It's also that as people had more Bibles available, the Bible being printed during that period of time, they began to read for themselves the very clear instructions in the Bible about the Seventh-day Sabbath. And so essentially it was a threat. It was something different from the mainstream church, and it was not very well tolerated in many climates in colonial America as well as in England.
We'll have more to talk about with Jim Franks about Sabbatarians, but first, to find out how you can get a free copy of a very important booklet, Sunset to Sunset, God's Sabbath Rest. Listen to this, and then we'll be right back with more good news.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy begins the fourth commandment. Why did God consider the Sabbath so important that he included it in the Ten Commandments? Our booklet, Sunset to Sunset, God's Sabbath Rest, will show you why God created the Sabbath and help you discover its vital relevance for Christians today. Call right now for your free copy, 1-800-966-9232. 1-800-966-9232.
Are you tired of hearing nothing but bad news? Well, here's some good news. You can receive a year's subscription to the Good News Magazine absolutely free. The Good News Magazine isn't a Pollyannish cover-up of today's problems. It is a magazine that dares to look at today's problems and ask the questions that must be asked. The Good News seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered in the pages of your Bible. Today's radio program is sponsored by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. Your free subscription to the Good News has already been paid. You will never be sent a bill or be obligated in any way. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232 for your free subscription to the Good News Behind the Headlines.
That number once again, in order to get your free copy of Sunset to Sunset, God's Sabbath Rest, is 1-800-966-9232. And you can call right now, or if you want to wait to after the program, you can write it down. It's 1-800-966-9232. Now we're back with Jim Franks discussing the early history of Seventh-day Sabbath keepers here in the United States. Now, Jim, we at the last section there, we were talking about the biblical basis that these early Sabbath keepers in the 1600s, 1700s in the United States used to support their teaching of the Seventh-day Sabbath. What would be some of the biblical teachings that they would use when obviously they were so far out of step with much of the other Christian denominations?
Well, it seems to be an important factor that as we come out of the Middle Ages and knowledge began to increase, and also the role of the church was at times threatened and questioned, that people began to look into what the Bible had to say about the day of worship. It is acknowledged by many, not only scholars, but many of the leaders of the Anglican Church, of the Church of England, of the churches that really had sway of the religious life, that the only authority for Sunday worship truly came from the Roman Church, and that the Protestant groups, as they came through the Protestant Reformation, adopted that. But as people began to read the scriptures, when you go back to Genesis chapter 2, and you find the seventh day and God resting, and the word for rest there is really the Hebrew word Shabbat, and later on in Exodus finding it formalized in a commandment, as people read this, it really became critical to them that they must be following the Bible and not what the established church was teaching them.
Well, you know, that leads us to probably the real important question here in our discussion, and that is, how biblically valid is seventh-day Sabbath observance for the 21st century Christian?
Well, I believe we would all at least have to acknowledge that there is one source of guidelines or guidance for Christians, whatever our concept may be of that book, that Bible. Some may believe that there are portions that are no longer applicable, but if we take that book as a whole and read it as most people you would hope would read it, you come to some very definite conclusions, and that is either the seventh day is the Sabbath and is to be observed, or there was a change that took place, and now Sunday has replaced that seventh day, or you come to sort of the antinomian position that there is no law incumbent upon a Christian today. It would appear that you must come to one of those three conclusions based upon the Scripture. And if you read the Bible in a literal way, then I would believe that you would come, as the Sabbatarians did, to a very clear point of faith and of conscience, really, that one must observe the seventh day.
Well, we really appreciate you being on the program today. We'll hope you'll come back at another time.
Thank you.
Some time management gurus of several years ago promoted micromanaging each hour of each day in order to increase efficiency. Adopting this management style has also driven many people to a nervous breakdown. A more common approach to time management today is to organize blocks of time dedicated to specific purposes in conjunction with personal missions and goals. This method uses the week as the natural framework of time management. You know, this is the very framework used by God when he told mankind, 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. By planning our time in a weekly structure, we can get control of the non-stop whirlwind to begin to balance our activities. Time can be scheduled throughout the week for work, family, meals, exercise, household chores, personal Bible study, and recreation. The weekly schedule also gives us a goal at its completion. You know, biblical days begin and end at sundown, so no matter how hectic the week, the goal of Friday sundown, the beginning of Sabbath, awaits with its promise of physical, emotional, and spiritual renewal. As the Sabbath approaches, it's time to forget the work problems and mortgage payments. It's time to shut out the noise of the daily pressure cooker. In addition to the practical blessing of Sabbath keeping, there are important lessons God teaches us through observing the seventh day as holy time. The fourth commandment, in its entirety, reads, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger, which is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." The Sabbath stands as a weekly testimonial to God as Creator. But some will ask, but wasn't the Sabbath given only to the Jews? The fourth commandment states that God hallowed the Sabbath day at the beginning of creation, before there was a distinction between Jew and Gentile. Jesus didn't claim that the Sabbath was made only for Jews. He says it was made for man. The Sabbath stands as a memorial to the redemptive work God is doing through the Lord of the Sabbath, who is Jesus Christ. Have you been missing out on this special gift from God? Is your life so hectic that you don't have time to experience spiritual rest with Jesus Christ? Instead of cramming every day with exhausting activity, it's time to start enjoying the day God set aside for you to rest and renew your relationship with Him. It's time to begin celebrating the Sabbath. Why were you born? There's a big difference between grasping your future and simply going on the way you have been. The choice is up to you. Join us next time when we continue to explore what the Bible really says about your future. For Good News Radio, I'm Gary Petty.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy begins the fourth commandment. Why did God consider the Sabbath so important that He included it in the Ten Commandments? Today, the Sabbath command is almost universally ignored and considered irrelevant in modern society. But is it? Our booklet, Sunset to Sunset, God's Sabbath Rest, will show you why God created the Sabbath and help you discover its vital relevance for Christians today. It will show you from the pages of your Bible what the truth is and what it means for you. Call right now for your free copy. 1-800-966-9232. Request your copy of Sunset to Sunset and discover this surprising truth Jesus Christ taught. Call 1-800-966-9232. Your free copy is waiting for you.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Operators are standing by for your call. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org. You've been listening to the Good News Radio Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. We seek the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. To receive your free copy of the literature offered on today's program, please call toll-free 1-800-966-9232. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.